The Girl at the Border by Leslie Archer. Performed by Brittany Presley. The morning Bella disappeared, Angela was with Bella's father on a boat off the coast of Crete. It was an island that, under Richard's expert archaeologist's hands, had slowly but surely been giving up its secrets. They had taken a break from the painstaking work that Richard was certain would help illuminate the mysterious and contentious origins of Etruscan civilization. Bella, thousands of miles away, walked out of her house on a Saturday morning that was like all other Saturdays in what kids called Deadborn, the Michigan city abutting Detroit, better known as Dearborn, but was in retrospect like no other Saturday in her life. At dinner the night before, she had told her mother, Maggie, that she would be off the next morning to study at the library, then have lunch at McDonald's. Maggie wasn't likely to have heard. When Richard was away, mother and daughter barely spoke. After school, Bella would secrete herself in her room. On weekends, she attended a small study group. She never watched TV, rarely went to the movies, and after the first time, never went back to the mall, where many of the girls in her class hung out after school. No doubt another mother would ask herself what exactly her daughter did in her bedroom all afternoon and evening. Maggie didn't care. On that particular Saturday morning, as Bella stepped out into the morning, Maggie was still in bed, the thick curtains of the upstairs bedroom drawing a veil across the rising day. Maggie, under the blankets, a satin sleep mask covering the top half of a face as crumpled as a used tissue, was oblivious to the world around her. Not even the herbal scent seeping from the mask could disguise the medicinal fug that had colonized the bedroom for the past 6 weeks. Bella, small-boned, somewhere between plain and pretty, bounced down the front steps. Her black hair, drawn back from her broad forehead, shone like a helmet. Her large, gray-blue eyes took in the quiet street. A woman pushed a baby carriage down the sidewalk, heading away from her toward the park. A kid on a shiny red bike appeared along the cross street, head down, legs pumping, and then was gone. The morning remained nearly deserted, serene, unremarkable. Dressed in lightweight jeans, a blue and white striped t-shirt, and old school Keds, Bella adjusted her heavy backpack so that it sat precisely between her narrow shoulder blades before she set off at a brisk pace. Richard Mathis and Angela, half a world away. The breeze wafting over the water, the clouds tumbling overhead, the water's rhythmic slap against the boat's wooden hull. They stood side by side, watching the trailing spangles of Mediterranean moonlight, like an enchanted wake, as the boat headed toward the Cretan shore. After what had happened, it was such a relief simply to be alive, to drink in the beauty of the night, to breathe the salt air, and to know everything was going to be all right. Late the next morning, Richard's cell phone rang. He was not alone. Angela was with him, and so were the press vultures that had lately descended on the instantly famous dig. She would never forget the look on his face while he listened. Consternation, concern, a grim struggle against an invisible tide. "What is it? What's happened?" she asked against a rising fear. But he didn't answer. And then it was too late. 20 minutes after he received the call, he was gone. 48 hours after that, he was dead.